Big Red Bench. Saturday and Sunday from 6 p.m. Cork's Red FM.
Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. Very glad you could join us for the Big Red Bench on this Saturday evening. It's All-Ireland final Saturday evening as well. We'll be getting updates from Kieran O'Regan in Limerick, where Cork have just gotten underway against Tipperary in the Borgash Energy All-Ireland Under-20 Hurling Championship Final. Can the Rebels make it a double after the footballers win a couple of weeks back against Dublin? Fingers crossed. We'll be giving you updates between now and 7. Right here on the Big Red Bench. Also on the show this evening, we'll be discussing Ireland's big defeat to England today at Twickenham. Going to hear from John Cotter after Cork's. He were dumped out of the cup, a big shock last night away to Galway United, and what looks like it's going to be his last game in charge of the club. Also going to hear from Aoife Fitzgerald ahead of Cork and Dublin tomorrow. Plenty more besides as well. You're listening to the Big Red Bench on Cork's Red FM. Right, I'm Rory. I'm here with you until 7 p.m. this evening. If you would like to get in touch with the show, you can text us 086 8104106. You can tweet us as well at Big Red Bench. But first port of call has to be Limerick. The LIT Gaelic Grounds, the venue for this evening's battle between the old rivals Cork and Tipperary. Kieran O'Regan is there for us this evening. Kieran, how are your nerves?
Not great like yours, Roar, but they've just thrown in the ball literally in the last few seconds. Tip on the attack here, and they're actually through for a goal, and it is shot in, and it's a goal.
Oh, dear.
Straight away, number 14, Billy Seymour, has got a goal straight from the throw-in already. I don't know what happened there with the defence, but Tip just kind of came on top. Referee Liam Gordon from Galway speaking out with Captain James Keating, but it's a great start for Tip, not so good for Cork after 30 seconds on the clock. Billy Seymour from Kildangan is after getting the goal. Liam Gordon, I mentioned, referee from Galway. Little story, I stayed in the same room as him 3 weeks ago in the World GA Games down in Waterford. So hopefully he might favour Cork today. But anyway, she's not a good start here at all, Roar, actually.
Yeah, that's going to throw Dennis Ring's plans, I think, into the mixer a little bit, because you obviously can't legislate for a start like that. But it's early in the game, yeah. Cork have to settle a bit, but you don't want to be giving this Tipperary team any advantage, considering they scored 8 goals against Wexford last day out.
Certainly not, and they have a number of players who won in All-Ireland last week, and they're really on fire at the moment. You know, Hurling and Tip is in a very good place. Cork have a line ball now at the moment. You've got with me number 14, that's Shane O'Regan from Watergrass Hill, after putting it in, goes across the goals. So, Colin 13, Tommy O'Connell from Middleton, just misses, and Tip are coming out with it. But yeah, you don't want to give anything to Tipperary at any stage in any match. Dennis Ring doesn't look too concerned about that early goal, but look, after 30 seconds, Cork, I'm sure, will get back into it. They're going through now on goal. It's number 13. That's Brian Turnbull. He's after turning around Tip defender. He's after putting that over the bar. So they've got a point back on the board straight away. 2 minutes on the clock, so that'll set a lot of the nerves. It's very important, obviously, to get that first score, so they have that now.
Just watching,
and Brian Turnbull getting that.
Yeah, just watching the replay for the Tipperary goal, some very slack marking from Cork, obviously, not being fully turned on as the whistle goes, as you say, early days. Yeah, this Tipperary team, though, Kieran, much vaunted, very highly praised. They go into this game as favourites, justifiably so. But Cork were within a puck of a ball of beating them the last day out in the Munster final, so they have nothing to fear against this Tip side.
Yeah, they shouldn't fear him. Tip, as mentioned, obviously favourites because they're the Munster champions and All-Ireland champions as well, of course. But Cork really, I think it would be fair to say, I don't think anyone would crib if you said Cork should probably be Munster champions, I should say. But it was a last-minute goal, a sucker-punch goal from Jake Morris, who won an All-Ireland medal last week as well, Celtic Cross, who got that goal. And it was just an absolute sucker-punch. But obviously, Tip would be favourites, but Cork shouldn't be worried about them. Cork have just got another point there. It's a red and white helmet. If you turn around, they never like turning around for us journals in the press box. But it's number 6, Sean O'Leary Hayes from Middleton. Number 2, sorry. Yeah, James Conor O'Callaghan from Drumtar, sorry. We've got to get used to the helmets here now because they don't like turns us. But yeah, Tip obviously favourites, and they're playing as favourites already. Number 15 from Tip, Conor Bowe going through as well. He set up that last goal, but he's after putting it wide. But Cork shouldn't really fear from because they played exceptionally well against them in the Munster final that we were at in Thurles, and I was in front of a home Tip crowd. And, you know, like I mentioned earlier on, it was just that sucker punch goal that caught them at the end. And as you mentioned as well earlier on, Dennis Ring, I'm sure he'll be a name in the hat for the senior job if they can win today. And I'm sure he hasn't said it, but it's in the back of his mind as well. And Cork have got another point. So look, it's 2 points to one already. That's scored by number 12. That's Derek Connery from New Piercy. So look, that goal, that sucker punch goal after 30 seconds is almost gone now again after 4 minutes. So Cork straight back into it. And obviously that first point with Brian Turnbull settling the nerves as well.
Yeah, it looks like a big crowd there, Kieran, just watching it on TV there. Looks fairly even though between Cork and Tip fans.
Underneath us, it looks mainly Tip, but actually the camera is over on the far side now, which is great as well because you can see the main section of the crowd. But over underneath the camera is actually there is a bit of Tip, but it actually looks more red over there. But I think they were estimating around 25,000-26,000 here today, which is massive. They were expecting to sell out both sides. It looks like they're as good as full anyway. You know, they'll never be 100% full because they obviously leave some seats for health and safety, but there's massive crowd here. Even trying to get in, we got caught in huge traffic coming into the Gaelic grounds, but then of course everyone coming in the same road. But definitely everyone expecting a fantastic game for Ireland. We've got it so far after 5 minutes. Tip running into again, that's number 11, he's crossed it over, this could be another Tip goal. It is,
no,
it's a corner of the net, another Tip goal. Two goals now for Tip, 3 points for Cork after 5 minutes. That's gone in from number, I think that's 15, I think, possibly. Connor Bowe-Catton is on the other side of the pitch. But that was another bad goal to concede for Cork. Ball sent across the goals. Cork caught ball watching, I think, there. And he was left, I think it's Connor Bowe, anyway. He was left free. No, it's number 13. It's 13, I think, Andrew Norman, Jacob Arkins. He was left wide open and he got a great goal. He's through again. Now he's after passing in. Tip through again. Could they get a third goal? Number 14 has it. And it's a third goal. Tip.
What?
Number 14, Billy Seymour, has got it.
What?
This is
going on.
This is a disaster for Cork. There's 3 goals and a point for Tip. Cork of 3 points. Billy Seymour has got that after 6 minutes. Where I've never seen goals in 6 minutes at the start of a match. Tip absolutely on fire. And Cork actually kind of falling apart in the back. They need to get another score just to settle themselves down, because Dennis Ring looks a tiny bit agitated now as well, actually, on the sideline.
I can imagine.
But 3 goals, Billy Seymour getting 2 of them, and I think it is Andrew Ormond over on the far side got that other goal. But 3 goals in 6 minutes, Lord, that's not what you want from any team. And Tip have it again, and they're on, that's blocked down in fairness by number 5, Jerm Mellerick. But they're obviously going to be on fire now with the goals. Cork, really, their backs to the wall. They need a lot to do. 9, Tommy O'Connell from Middleton has that. He's after passing it out to Ryan Walsh of Kanturk. He's going to take a shot, and that is going to go close. The umpire is putting up the flag, so it's another point for Cork. They really, really needed that. That score, as mentioned by Ryan Walsh from Kanturk. 4 points, 3 goals and 1 now after 7 minutes. It's been a long time since I've seen a start like this, Roar.
Yeah, that's it. Yeah, that Tipperary full forward line is on fire. Cork don't know what to do with them at the moment. Kieran, I'm going to let you take a break, watch the game. We'll come back to you in a couple of minutes for a further update, but fingers crossed it'll be better for Cork when we talk again.
Well, Tip running in through again now, Roar. It's number 13 again. He's passed it to number 9. He was running straight through. It could be number 4. It is. Number 4, Jerome Cahill from Kilrain McDonagh's, is after getting a 4th goal for Tipper early after 7.5 minutes. This is a disaster so far. I'm not sure what to say, Roar, really. It's just a huge defensive lapses here. Cork really falling apart after 8 minutes. They have a huge amount of work. That's 13 points to 4 already after 7.5 minutes. Cork in big, big trouble here.
Well,
so far.
Yeah, Kieran, I'm hoping this will be similar to the footballers 3 weeks ago when they went 1-6 down against Dublin and came back to win. So fingers crossed, that's a good omen.
You'd be hoping. I think we'll clutch at anything at the moment, Roar, because Tip are all over Cork. Cork will get another point here. That's number 7. He should. Robert Downey, no, he's put that to the right and wide. Very poor wide, actually. But I think we'll grab any straw we can clutch at this stage, Roar.
All right, Kieran, we'll take a break there. We'll come back to you in a couple of minutes.
Cheers, Roar.
That's Kieran Regan. Disaster of a start for Cork in that under 20 hurling championship final. 4 goals for Tipperary in the opening 8 minutes. Sensational start. for Tipperary. But can Cork come back? I mean, like I mentioned, the footballers start, because if you're watching the footballers a couple of weeks ago against Dublin, you would have thought that there's no way that Cork can come back from that. But they are now 9 points down after the opening 8 minutes. Tipperary 4-1, Cork 4 points. We'll go back to Kieran in just a little bit, but I'm breathless just watching this on TV, so fingers crossed the Rebels can get it back. But that Tipperary forward line is on fire. Scored 8 goals against Wexford in the semi-final. Sensational stuff indeed. We'll go back to Kieran in just a couple of minutes, but still plenty of time for Cork to get back into this game. So look, we won't be writing the obituaries just quite yet. Ireland playing England today in their World Cup warm-up match at Twickenham. A massive defeat for Ireland. 57-15 was how it finished. Will O'Callaghan was in Twickenham today.
England 57, Ireland 15. For the second warm-up game in a row, Ireland's focus probably more on an injury being picked up just weeks out from the Rugby World Cup, though they've been completely bashed and beaten by a record margin by Eddie Jones' England this afternoon. Prop Kean Healy hobbled off in pain just before half-time with an injury to his right ankle, and he joins Joey Carberry in being a major fitness concern ahead of the tournament in Japan. The hosts look in good shape ahead of the World Cup, shaking off last week's defeat to Wales by scoring 8 tries in a 42-point rout in front of 81,000 fans in the 50th meeting of the sides at Twickenham. Joe Cockanasiga, Elliot Daly, a man of the match Manu Tilagi all scored tries in the first half as the hosts build up a 22-10 halftime lead. Mauro Itaji, Luke Cowan-Dickey, Tom Curry and George Cruz going over, as well as the second try for Cockanasiga in the second half. Ireland's try in the first half came in the 10th minute, a rare bright spot in the match for them. Ian Henderson stealing possession from an English line out before the ball was worked across the pitch, and Leinster speedster Larmer profited from a Jacob Stockdale ship over the English defence. Ross Byrne showed his array of kicking from hand and also scored 5 points in the opening half. Bundy Aki grabbed what proved to be a consolation second Irish try in the corner 7 minutes from time in what's England's biggest ever margin of defeat to England in the history of this fixture. Next up for Ireland, back-to-back games with the Six Nations Grand Slam winners Wales before Joe Smith finalises his 31-man squad for Japan. Final score here at Twickenham, England 57, Ireland 15.
Yes, the worst ever defeat to England, as we'll mention there, 57 points to 15. Now, we'll hear more from Joe Schmidt later in this show, but he says it's a performance that raises plenty of concerns ahead of the World Cup in Japan.
Yeah, it is a serious problem. You've got to make sure that you can rebound from this and get a number of different elements of the game back in order. There were so many aspects that we didn't get right today that we looked dishevelled out there, to be honest.
Yeah, that was very leggy indeed. We're going to hear from Joe Schmidt later on in the show in a bit more detail. Tipperary and Cork have traded points. It was now Tipperary 4-2, Cork 5 points with 10 minutes on the clock there in Limerick. Manchester United have lost at home to Crystal Palace. Darren Stanage.
United 0, Palace 1. Palace beat United then for the first time in the Premier League. Goals from Ayew and an injury time winner from Van Aanholt just when Daniel James thought he'd given his side a point. After the midweek Pogba penalty fuss, Rashford had his turn today, striking the post from the spot. United probably didn't deserve to win this one. Just 3 of their 22 shots were on target. Solskjaer says his side are still learning, and for a successful season, they need to learn fast as Crystal Palace get their season up and running in the unlikeliest of venues.
So that's the full-time report from Old Trafford. Of course, more penalty drama for Manchester United after Paul Pogba at Wolves on Monday, and then Rashford missing the penalty today, smacking the inside of the post. Ole Gunnar Solskjaer doesn't think that affected his side today.
If you score a penalty, that's a different case. If you miss it, I thought they got the act together second half. I thought we couldn't fault them at all. Efforts just didn't hit target.
Liverpool have gone a goal up on Arsenal as well. Joel Matip with a header from a corner from Trent Alexander-Arnold. So 44 minutes on the clock. Liverpool 1, Arsenal. Cork's Quevin Kelleher as well, the former Ringmahon Rangers man, on the bench for the Reds today. So fantastic to see his progress continue at Anfield. Right, going to hear from Crystal Palace boss Roy Hodgson. It's the first time Palace have won at Old Trafford since 1989.
When they got the penalty, I thought, well, that's unfortunate for us. And then, of course, they did manage to get the equaliser, but it was strong to come back and win the game after all. So I think it was one of those performances where the whole of the team and even the substitutes can take an awful lot of credit.
Update from Anfield, Shane Pennington.
It's Liverpool 1, Arsenal 0, and Jurgen Klopp's side in front just before the half-time interval, courtesy of a bullet header from Joel Matip. It was a corner from this right-hand side from Alexander-Arnold. It was a corner which was an outswinger, and there, around the penalty spot, was Matip to power the header into the left-hand top corner. It's Liverpool 1, Arsenal 0.
Tipperary have added another couple of points as well. They now lead Cork by 11. It's Tipperary 4-4, Cork 5 points with 12 minutes on the clock in that game at the Gaelic Grounds. And horrendous start from the Rebels. 4 goals they conceded inside 8 minutes. But still plenty of time left. I'm not giving up hope. Still plenty of time left. I have a feeling there's something special, something magical in this Cork team. But Tipperary are looking very, very good indeed. All right, it's going to round up the rest of the day's action in the Premier League. And we're going to hear from Cara Roder, Ian Beach reports on Frank Lampard's first Premier League win as Chelsea boss.
Norwich 2, Chelsea 3. So Frank Lampard is celebrating his first win as Chelsea manager, and he has Tammy Abraham to thank, really, the young centre-forward who came through Chelsea's ranks, scoring 2 goals in this game. He got them off the mark inside 3 minutes with a volley, and he scored what proved to be the winner just after the hour with a great finish from the edge of the penalty area. Norwich levelled up in this match twice, but it's Chelsea who win, leading 3 times. Norwich 2, Chelsea 3.
I'm going to hear now from Frank Lampard.
We should have had the game tied up earlier because we had chances and we controlled big parts of it, and obviously satisfied. 3 points, a really tough place to come. Norwich are a very good side. I knew that already. We knew that they will take a lot of points off teams home and away, but we controlled the game, so I'm very pleased with the performance.
West Ham, what a good win on the road today. Andrew Cheel.
Watford 1, West Ham 3. The Hammers good value for the win, and Sebastian Haller looks to be a more than decent addition to their squad. His first 2 goals for the club, a 2-yard tap-in, and the other an acrobatic overhead right-footer. Noble's penalty had given the Hammers an early lead. Gray's crisp right-footer levelled the scores. Will Hughes' miss of the century cost Watford a second equaliser. It would have been 2-2, and the home side paid the price. Watford 1, West Ham 3.
Southampton winning on the road to Brighton. Richard Newman.
Full time 10 man Brighton and Hove Albion 0, Southampton 2. Ralph Hasenhüttl's side off the mark for the season. Moussa Djenepo scoring the opener minutes after coming on as a sub. A brilliant strike into the top corner from the edge of the box. They wrapped up the points when Nathan Redmond slotted in from close range in stoppage time when Albion had overcommitted in attack. Brighton had to play an hour with 10 men after Florin Andone's red card for a reckless challenge, but they didn't sit back and dominated long spells of this game. They almost equalised at 1-0 down when Jurgen Lacazette dumped the post from 5 yards out. Lewis Dunk also had a goal ruled out by VAR, but Brighton suffer their first defeat of the season. Southampton with their first points. They've won 2-0.
Leicester winning away to Sheffield United today. Lee Stott was at Bramall Lane.
It's finished Sheffield United 1, Leicester City 2, and a thumped-in effort from substitute Harvey Barnes earned Leicester a first win of the season. His goal came when they were on the ropes, though. They've just conceded. There's another substitute, Ollie McBurney, came on to get his first goal for the home side, and that came after local lad Jamie Vardy had put the visitors ahead for his first of the season with England manager Gareth Southgate watching on. Full-time, Sheffield United 1, Leicester 2.
Half-time whistle has just gone at Anfield as well. Liverpool lead Arsenal by a goal today. We'll get you a half-time report on that one in just a little bit. Elsewhere today, football-wise, in the Munster Senior League, it finished Douglas Hall 2, College Corinthians 2. Ringmahon Rangers had a 1-0 win over Rockmount. Paul Thiessy with a penalty there for the Ringers. Elsewhere, Longford Town have finally confirmed that manager Neil Fenn has resigned from his position, and they released what could be best described as a terse 2-line statement today, saying Longford Town Football Club would like to confirm that manager Neil Fenn has resigned from his position, and the club wish him the best for his future. Darragh Doyle has been appointed interim manager. Speculation, not so much speculation. Neil Fenn was watching Cork City last night as they slumped out of the FAI Cup to Galway United. But it's just been confirmed today that he's actually left his job. It's expected that Neil Fenn will be announced as Cork City manager early in the week, replacing interim head coach John Cotter. So, Neil Fenn, we'll discuss that in a little bit, but it looks like Neil Fenn is going to be Cork City manager early in the week. Longford Town were going out of the FAI Cup last night on penalties, with a one after drawing 1-1 with Bohemians last night. Elsewhere, Harry Kenny stepped down as St Patrick's Athletic manager. The Saints currently fifth in the Premier League table. They lost 3-1 to UCD in the second round of the Cup. last night. A couple of results as well from the local championships today. In the Senior Football Championship, it finished after extra time. Clann 3-14, O'Donovan Ross 1-19, a 1-point win there for Clann. So they go into the quarterfinals. In the Intermediate Hurling Championship, Clonmel had a narrow win over Dungourney 1-15 to 2-11. Half time at Anfield as well, going to go to Shane Pennington.
It's Liverpool 1, Arsenal 0, and the goal coming just 4 minutes before the interval, when a corner from the right-hand side from Trent Alexander-Arnold was met with a bullet header from Joel Matip, his first goal in the Premier League for 11 months. Prior to that, Arsenal had the better chances, most of them coming from Nicolas Pepe. He curled just wide from 20 yards out on the half-hour mark, and then he ran clear after Jordan Henderson had given the ball, and only to see a weak effort well saved by Adrian. It's Liverpool 1, Arsenal 0.
As I mentioned, Rugby Ireland well beaten by England today, but Scotland, who Ireland played first in the World Cup, had a good win over France today, 17-14 was how it finished in Murrayfield. And Rory McIlroy tied for second at the PGA Tour Championship. He is on 12 under par. He is two shots behind the leader, Brooks Koepka. McIlroy teeing off just after 8 p.m. Irish time this evening. Back to Limerick we go now. Still not looking good for Cork. Tipperary aren't giving the Rebels a second. Back to Kieran. Kieran, Tipperary all over Cork. Cork look nervous. Tipperary can smell blood in the water, I think, and they look very, very good indeed.
Absolutely. There's a 12-point difference at the moment. Brian Turnbull has just knocked over another point for Cork. So at the moment, after 20 minutes, it's tip 4-7. Cork 7 points. It's 11 scores to 7. But it's just when you add up the goals, it obviously improves that scoreline for Tip. But they Cork have steadied the ship some bit, but they were disastrous. Four goals, and Cork haven't scored four goals in the championship this year, so I'm not quite sure they'll be able to pull this one back already. But that actually looked like a score. The umpires have given a wide ball, but I think that actually was possibly a point for Tip. But anyway, it's gone wide, and according to the umpire. But Cork have steadied the ship some bit, but they have a huge amount of work to do here. Roar, number 8 on the ball now at the moment, Ryan Walsh, has put that into the 20-metre line. But that's after being overturned. Shane O'Regan didn't get that one up into the hurl, and Tip come away with it again. Then a huge amount of work. Dennis Ring's going to be a very, very concerned man going in at half time. Tip man just ran over the sideline here as well while he was poking the ball. So Lions and Sean Sack from Dublin's after giving a line ball to Cork right on the halfway line. A lot of work for Cork needing to be done here after only 20 minutes.
What can Dennis Ring do? Who can he spring from the bench to kind of turn things around? I know Craig Hanifin was probably unlucky not to be named in the starting 15. He's a big, tall half forward. He could be an option to come in the second half, maybe.
You took the words out of my mouth. He's the main man in that subs bench that could come on, Craig Hanifin. I think you definitely will see him. Fantastic catch from Shane O'Regan there. He's just blocked down. But yeah, Craig Hanifin definitely will definitely see him make an appearance, I think, at half time. He hasn't got any game time this year, and not being biased because he's from my own club, Jamie Copps from Ballyhea, but he has played very well with Ballyhea so far this season. I think he's worth a few minutes to come on, get a bit of game time as well. As is Ronan Sheen from Mallow, very good defender. I think he could strengthen things a small bit in the back line. But to get scores, I think you need to be bringing on Craig Hanifin. But I don't know, Dennis doesn't seem too concerned about bringing on the sub right now. Maybe, you know, I don't know, he'll probably wait till half time, but yeah, they'll definitely have to bring Craig Hanifin. He's the only one that's up bench that I could see getting scores. Maybe Evan Sheen from the Piercing could come on, but other than that, I'm not quite sure.
The 12 points is the gap. Tipperary 4-7, Cork 7 points. Thanks for that, Kieran. We'll come back to you in a little bit.
Yeah, cheers, Laura.
Fingers crossed Cork can get it back, but Tipperary are looking very, very good indeed today at the Gaelic grounds. Right, as we were discussing the Cork City situation, I'm going to hear briefly from interim head coach John Cotter. Looks like last night was his last game in quote-unquote charge of the Rebel Army following his appointment as John Caulfield's successor following Caulfield's sacking a number of months back. Hasn't been the easiest of times for John Cotter, but he's done okay. And you could see the style of play he was trying to get across was slowly coming across, but last night's results simply wasn't good enough. Galway United having a poor season. Cork City, the FA Cup is their only chance of lifting the gloom, I suppose, of this season, and then to crash out to Galway United last night thanks to O'Connor Melody app header. I should say, from a corner, it's simply not good enough. It's the only words for it. Cork City fans hoping for a cup run, not going to get it now. We're in the cup final for the last 4 years. Certainly won't be going to the Aviva this year. So massively disappointing. We'll talk about Neil Fenn in a bit, but look, this is the reaction of John Cotter following last night's defeat.
Tough defeat, really.
It was, look, but I thought Galway, to be fair to them, look, we kind of, on that side of it, you've no complaints. I thought they were hungrier for it on the night, and they deserved to go through.
Were you surprised with how good they were? Like,
no, because we spoke about that during the week, and look, it's cup football, and in the last round we spoke about complacency, which we probably were towards in the second half of that game over there, or Camantini in the last round, and we spoke about that during the week to make sure we were ready for tonight, and one reason or another we weren't ready, and to be fair to Galway, they deserve to go through.
Is it a disappointing way to bow out of the cup, like?
Oh, absolutely. Look, you never want to bow. We have an unbelievable record in this cup for the last 4 years, four finals, and look, you never want to get bow out of anything, and it just wasn't good enough, to be honest. It wasn't we didn't put in a good performance, didn't create any chances, and Galway were full value for it.
But can Cork City concentrate now on towards the end of this season? Like, this
look, if you concentrate on Sligo next week, which is a massive game, it's a home game, needs to try and get back up the table. That's you have to do. Cork City, it's the biggest club in the country in my eyes, the most demanding club in the country, and you have to have a lot of character and passion and stuff to play for this club, and the players are going to have to show a lot of that now over the coming weeks.
It was a week of uncertainty in the club.
Yeah, they certainly will have to show that in the next couple of weeks as well, because they have a new manager to impress. Neil Fenn, watching from the sidelines last night, wonder what he thought of that performance and what he'll be inheriting as Cork City boss. He's expected to be unveiled early in the week. There's nothing concrete on that, but that's what I'm hearing. So Cork City will have a new manager. He's still doing his pro licence. He's actually doing his pro licence alongside John Cotter, which will make for interesting conversations when they bump into each other back on the pro licence course. John Cotter inherited a very, very tough situation from John Caulfield, or not from John Caulfield, but when he took over as John Caulfield's successor. Tried to get the team playing a different way, I suppose, and you could see the effects of that. They certainly passed the ball around a lot more, weren't all that clinical in front of goal. Thought they had turned a corner with the win over Waterford and the win over Cabinteely. But then, I suppose, the cup defeat last night, the news breaking that Neil Fenn was set to take over as Cork City boss, and that John Cotter would be stepping aside, must have created, I suppose, a sense of uneasiness in the squad, and that carried over into the performance last night. So look, massively disappointing for Cork City to exit the cup. It isn't good enough for Cork City to be exiting the cup at this stage. It's not good enough for Cork City to be exiting the cup to a first division side at this stage, and no one is going to disagree with that. Neil Fenn has a huge job to do as Cork City boss, to get Cork City back up the top of the table where they have been for the last number of years, barring this year. It's a huge job for him. His Longford Town teams play decent football, best football in the first division. I've seen them quite a bit over the last 18 months down at Cove, and they've always impressed me. Former Cork City player, of course, coming back in, member of the 05 winning side, the former Tottenham man. So it's the start of a new year talk that he's going to be in the dugout for the Sligo game next Friday night as well, so it'll be a baptism of fire for him. A couple of games for him to get his feet under the table, see what needs to be done for next season. It's going to be a big off season as he starts the rebuilding job there, and to see who he can bring in and see what players are going to go out. So wish him all the very best. As I said, expected to be announced earlier in the week, but a huge job facing Neil Fenn. Longford Town fans aren't too happy with the manager of his departure, judging from the statement as well. Longford aren't best pleased, and they probably know, like, you can't blame them really for the way Neil has left the club, but that's football, I guess. He's moving on to a bigger job. The Cork City job is one of the biggest, if not the biggest job in the country. Massive potential here. A lot of pressure that comes with that. And fingers crossed, Neil Fenn can get Cork City back up the table where they belong. and back challenging for the title. All right, I'm going to take a quick break. When we come back, going to get a halftime report from Ciarán from the Gaelic Grounds, and also going to hear from our Cork boss, Aoife Fitzgerald, as Cork prepare to face Dublin tomorrow in the All-Ireland Ladies Football Championship semi-final.
The Big Red Bench, Saturday and Sunday from 6 p.m. Cork's Red FM.
Very glad you tuned into us on the Big Red Bench this evening. It's approaching a half-time in Limerick, and Ciarán Cork chipping away a little bit of that Tipperary lead.
They're tipping away 4-9 to 10 points now, just on the stroke of half time. Another wide from Cork. There's been a few wides, but Dara Connery has got back with another score. Ryan Walsh tipping over another point as well. There'll be a lot of harsh words said at half time, I think, although, well, maybe encouraging rather than harsh, maybe. But Dennis Ring is ever the philosophical person, I suppose you could say. But it's half time here now in the LIT Gaelic Grounds. He's clapping the lads off. There'll be a lot of words said, I think, but they'll know themselves that they have a lot of work to do here, you know. It is it's 12 plus 9 is 21 plus 10. You know, it's not an insurmountable lead, but it is a huge amount of work as well that they have to do to get back into this game. And I don't know, I definitely can see a couple of changes, if not one at least, with Craig Hannafin possibly coming in at half time.
And this is the biggest team talk of Dennis Ring's life, I think, here coming up. Like, what do you say to the lads? I mean, like, you can see 4 goals in 8 minutes. I mean, like, it's an almost absurd situation. I can't remember a game like that off the top of my head. So I mean, like, what does he say to the lads? I mean, like, what does he change? I mean, like, it's going to be a fascinating 15 minutes inside in that Cork dressing room.
It's sure will. I'm not sure what you can even say. You know, it's just, it's done. But, you know, just drive on and try and get back that score. I don't think there's anything you can really say. The lads at this level should know anyway. They you know, they have a lot of work to do, and they don't need to. They shouldn't need to be told anyway what has to be done now. They have tightened up a small bit, but Tip still getting through that defence. But like I said, there probably will be a sub or two come in, but I don't know what you could say to a team who's conceded that much in that short space of time at the very start of a game as well. But I think Cork have kind of come back into the game, in fairness to them. But they have so much work to do. Is it too much work to do? Quite possibly. Tipperary could be going home with an All-Ireland title again here tonight. But Cork really have to come out and give the best second half, I think, of any Cork team in a long, long, long time. They'll have to give just a serious performance.
Well, on the plus side, they haven't conceded any more goals after that 8 minute spell, so they obviously tighten things up a bit at the back. It's just getting the ball into that forward line now for Cork is going to be key. And look, an early goal will change the complexion of this tie completely.
Yeah, it certainly wouldn't. In fairness, it'll give them a lot of confidence. To Collins, but a fantastic save as well to stop another goal as well, a fifth goal for Tip. So hopefully that'll give him confidence, because I think two of the goals came from puck outs as well, which isn't ideal. But yeah, they have to put in the best second half of their careers, early careers. But hopefully, you know, that maybe an early goal, like you mentioned, would change the landscape a good bit as well and give them confidence to drive on. So hopefully, look, they're going in at half time playing well. Hopefully they can keep that going into the second half.
All right, Ciarán, we'll come back to the start of the second half. Thanks for that.
Cheers,
Yeah, it's Ciarán O'Regan there in Limerick, so fingers crossed we have a big 30 minutes ahead of us from a Rebels perspective. Another massive game tomorrow in Croke Park, the All-Ireland Ladies Senior Football Championship semi-final. Cork and Dublin going head-to-head. Ciarán's been speaking to Rebels boss Aoife Fitzgerald.
Game obviously tomorrow, Sunday, against Dublin in the All-Ireland semi-final. Something you're looking forward to?
Yeah, well, we prepared hard, and you know, we worked hard for this all year, so we managed to have a clean bill of health, so the girls are looking forward to it, and it'll be a big challenge for us, obviously, playing Dublin, but you know, that's what we aim for, and you know, we've had a great year today, so hopefully we can finish it off now with an appearance in All-Ireland.
Yeah, I think between you have a combined total of 14 All-Ireland senior titles. I know you're not looking ahead to the All-Ireland final, of big matches against Dublin at stake first, but like, it just goes to show the what's going to be on offer for people to watch, and the strength of both sides.
Yeah, well, you know, Yeah, well, over the last 10 years particularly, I suppose, I've seen Cork and Dublin in most of the finals. And, you know, they've always been very close. I'm not sure is this the first semi-final that the pair have met in. Possibly is, but...
I think so.
But that said, you know, it doesn't really matter whether it's a semi-final or final or quarter-final. You know, you have to beat the best teams if you're going to win in All-Ireland. Dublin have been the best for the last couple of years, so... but I'm very proud of my girls as well. You know, they've put in a massive effort, and... You know, since I started, I think we have only 7 girls left of the 2016 panel. So that's testament to the girls to be competitive, you know, at this level. You know, we were in the final last year. We won a few leagues. We won Munster Championships. So it's obviously a big step to win an All-Ireland. But, you know, the amount of effort they've put in and the way they've developed over the last couple of years has been phenomenal, really. And, you know, it's a lot of it is testament to the good work that's been done underage. You know, particularly at minor level with John there, and you know, I was involved slightly with the under-14s this year with Dominic Gallagher, and you know, the amount of effort that we put in underage is fantastic, and I think we, you know, at senior level we're seeing the fruits of that. But it's a big jump from I mean, it's no longer the case really where you can kind of step out of minor into senior, because of the physicality and the, you know, the amount of strength conditioning involved. So, but all in all, we have to say we're very, very pleased with our progression today, and hopefully on Sunday, like my wish for the girls on Sunday, that they'll go, they'll express themselves, and they'll really give it a good go. And I think if we do, we you know, there will be a chance.
Yeah, the games between yourself and Dublin have always been very close, especially I think it's possibly the last time you met went to extra time, serious weather down in Nolan Park, I think it was like that. Yeah. Are we expecting the same again?
I don't think there's ever going to be much between the teams because of the quality of the players. I suppose that the advantage Dublin have over us is that individually they have a lot more experience. You know, they've been on the go for 10 years, and I think that's made them stronger. You know, they've had 4 or 5 maybe defeats, half-breaking defeats, some of them along the way, and I think they're a battle-hardened group. You know, a lot of the girls are in their late 20s, early 30s, so, you know, a testament to the commitment they have to their county and that, because it's probably a bit unusual to have a group who stay together that long, particularly ladies football. So, with the, you know, the effort and commitment that it takes to be successful now. So they're a very driven group, they're very battle hardened, they're well organised, and, you know, they have some fantastic footballers. So but I think we're the same. The only thing they have over us, as I said earlier, there is that probably have a little bit more experience. But that's okay too. I mean, we can go to Co Park, you know, and some of the girls will be there, you know, for the first time. I think Niamh Cotter and Emma Coyley off the top of my head now will be their first visit to Coal Park, I'd say. So, but that's exciting for the girls as well, you know, and they're, you know, as I said, they work very hard, and our older girls, you know, the likes of Kira and Martina have been phenomenal really with the younger ones in terms of, you know, guiding them along, and you know, I think everybody knows what to expect up there. I suppose the big fear for me going up there from the point of view of playing Crow Park is great and everything, but that we get a bit of a crowd, because if there's only, you know, 4,000 or 5,000 there, it will be a weird atmosphere. So I would hope that people will come out, and when people come out, I suppose it's mainly Dublin people, but I would hope that they'll generate an atmosphere there, because there's nothing worse than playing in an empty stadium.
Yeah, I was going to touch on that, Aoife. Well, you've the 4 best teams in the championship there. You'd hope that there'd be some crowd. Obviously, there'll be a big Dublin contingent there, with as good as a home game for them. But, Crow Park can be a very echoey place when there's not a decent crowd there.
It can. Going on previous experiences of semi-finals, you know, there's been very, very small crowds. And you have the men's final the following week, so a lot of Dubs might be saving their money to go there, because it can be quite expensive, you know, to go to these games. And if you bring in a family, you know, it can cost you a few hundred quid just to go to, even if you're living in Dublin, with the price of the tickets and that. So, but all in all, I hope that we'll get some bit of a crowd. But I mean, at the end of the day, that's a factor outside of our control. But I think the girls deserve it. The 4 teams involved, as you said, they're four best teams in the country, so. And they deserve a crowd, but whether that happens or not, who knows? But at the end of the day, we just have to go and focus on what we have to do. And, you know, we've put in a massive effort this year. You know, I think the girls are fitter than they've ever been. You know, we, James Masters and Kevin Tatt particularly there, have done a phenomenal job with them, both physically and from a tactical point of view. So, but on any given day, you just don't know, you know, the season, how far you're against you, you know, you need a little bit of luck as well. I mean, the final last year, you know, Emer Skelly had one kick off the line, I would have put us ahead with 10 minutes score, they went down and got a goal. So the margins are fairly fine.
Yeah.
But I think we're a little bit more experienced this year, and we're hopefully, you know, as I said to you earlier, I would hope that from our point of view, that the girls can go and express themselves and just see it as a game. You know, you can play the game rather than the occasion, because at times when you go to big stadiums and you have the hullabaloo of, you know, the rhythm it has before the game, and that you can get caught up a little bit in that. But we try to guard against that, so hopefully we'll play our football. And if we do that, I think, as I said earlier, I think we have a much better opportunity to win the game.
We touched on Croke Park there. I don't know whether this sounds right now, but I know it's great to play in Croke Park, but is it an element of tokenism to be put in the semi-finals in there, when on past experience over the years the crowds haven't been massive for the semis?
Well, I think it's probably an effort to raise the profile of the ladies game, but I do my own opinion, and this has always been that unless there's an affiliation with the GAA, that you're never going to get the crowds at the game, really. And I think it would be great, you know, having the ladies' games maybe before the senior semi-final or whatever would be. Now, I know you have the minor factor, but I don't see any harm in playing three games either, to be honest. Yeah. That you'd have a much better atmosphere. And again, it gets back to, you know, looking after the girls. You know, on Sunday, obviously the families will be up there and all of that. But I think our girls, as has been well documented, they don't get any expenses for all the travelling and stuff they do. So, you know, that needs to be addressed, because the amount of effort they're putting in. I mean, it's for us, really, they're training 5 days a week, three with us and two in the gym. And, you know, and lots of them are out of pocket. And to be honest, without their parents, I think a lot of the girls would struggle, because we have a lot of girls who are in college and that, who, you know, who aren't earning. So, and there's never a complaint, you know, which in a way can be a bad thing. I think girls are more accepting situations than fellas are, and you know, I'm always trying to drive the girls on to get more and more and more in terms of nobody should be out of pocket for playing for their coach.
Yeah, of course.
And you know, and I think the enjoyment they give amount of effort they give in the name of Cork, really. And I must say, our own county board are fantastic. They do the best they can for us. You know, we're never left short in anything within reason that they can provide for us. And Carter Cork have been good for us as well this year. You know, so. So, you know, people are doing their best, but I do think that unless there's an affiliation, then they're never going to get the crowds at the ladies' matches, which would generate funds to pay the expenses to the girls.
Yeah, I think the LGFA had a video up lately on Facebook. You got an insight into some of the commitment that the girls are travelling the distance to training every night.
Yeah, and I suppose we're most probably, I suppose the more rural counties, you know, girls, like we have girls in West Cork, but I'd imagine in the likes of Mayo and Galway, the girls will be travelling fair distances as well, you know. The bigger counties particularly.
Yeah, you mentioned some of the girls there, it'll be their first time in Croke Park. Is it hard to, I suppose, get their head in the game, for lack of a better term?
Well, it's not, they're very focused. Well, as far as I'm concerned, they're very focused. So, yeah, and again, like, I'm always stressing, you know, there's two posts, and, you know, nothing changes in that regard. I think once the game starts, it's fine. It's just the fact that you're going to Croke Park and the history of the place and, you know, what's gone on before there. It is a big, no matter what anybody says, if you're playing in Croke Park, it is a big deal, because there's very few people get to play in there, particularly in championship games. So it's a great honour. But I suppose from our point of view, we just want our girls to focus on the game, and, you know, what the environment for us will come afterwards. You know, I mean, when you're playing in county football, it's a serious event, and, you know, you have to give it everything, and, you know, it's not easy, but the girl you're on is every bit as good as you are, every bit as fit as you are, so it's kind of dog-eat-dog. But, you know, I think once we go out there, and we have very, very good footballers, once we go out there and express ourselves, then I think we'll be fine. But, you know, with regard to what goes on in people's heads related to to the venue, I suppose that's really out of our control. We do the best we can to support everybody. And that can be a lonely place as well, if you're, you know, things aren't going well for you. But, I mean, our group, you know, we're very strong, and, you know, everybody supports one another. So we win together, we lose together, we make mistakes together. So that's just the way it is, and we get on with it.
Well, look, Aoife, I'll leave you at it, but thanks very much for joining us on the Big Red Bench, and best luck tomorrow in that All-Ireland semi-final against Dublin.
Yeah, well, thanks for that.
Very best luck indeed to the Rebels tomorrow. We'll have updates across the course of the day and reaction to come on the Big Red Bench tomorrow evening from 6 p.m. Alright, just going to get an update from Anfield. Liverpool have doubled their lead.
It's Liverpool 2, Arsenal 0, and just minutes into the second period, Arsenal give away a penalty inside their own box. David Luiz it was, who pulled back Mo Salah in the area. Referee Anthony Taylor spotted it straight away, gave the penalty, and Mo Salah has just smashed it into the left-hand top corner. It's Liverpool 2, Arsenal 0.
And I've just looked up, and Mo Salah has added a third for Liverpool with a very, very nice finish indeed, left-footed. About 16 yards out, just curls it past the keeper. Very, very nice finish. So it's Liverpool 3, Arsenal 0, an hour on the clock, and Liverpool are cruising. All right, second half just getting underway in Limerick. Any sign of changes, Ciarán?
Yeah, one change on the Cork team. Simon Kennethick, who was named on the sub bench at the start, but started the game, has been replaced by number 23, Evan Sheehan of Na Piarsaigh. We did say before halftime that he possibly would come on either himself or Craig Hannifin, but it's Evan Sheehan is the only sub on the Cork team. I've never seen it happen before, but as Tip were coming back out onto the pitch, they changed the music. I know it's Let's Dance, an oldies, well, I won't call it an oldie song, but from a couple of years ago, yeah. And they raised the volume a huge amount as Tip were coming out. Strange, never seen that happen before. And we think Liam Sheedy came out of the dressing room as well. So he might have had a few words with the Tip team at halftime. They were also out a lot later than Cork were. Hopefully, a lot of words said to Cork. Cork have just had a wide ball here from free, I think it is. But I don't know, hopefully Dennis Ring and the lads and James Keating, the captain from Kildare, have had a lot of words. Words will have to have been said. Talking to the journalists on at halftime there, nobody can see Cork coming back into this. It's going to be one hell of a fight this second half.
All right, Ciarán, I'll get an update off you in just a bit. Thanks for that.
Yeah, cheers, Art.
That's Ciarán O'Regan in Limerick, and for a report from the third goal from Anfield, Shane Pinnington.
When it's Liverpool 3, Arsenal 0, and surely the points have been confirmed here now at Anfield tonight. There's another goal from Mo Salah, this one though, a real moment of class from Liverpool's Egyptian striker. He turned David Luiz inside out on the right-hand side of the pitch, just after the halfway line, and then ran the length for the Arsenal half, cutting inside on the right, onto his left foot, and dispatched a lovely finish from 18 yards out. A real class goal that, Liverpool 3, Arsenal 0.
All right, going to talk Gaelic games now again, and it's a busy period for the Cork Divisional. Boards are flagship finals taking place over the next couple of weeks. In Shandoon, the Divisional Kingpins Brian Dillon's go up against Whitechurch, who are playing in their first Junior A final in a number of years. That game takes place tomorrow in Ballinlock. Ciarán spoke with PRO of the board, Eileen Clifford, to preview the game.
A busy weekend for the Shandoon Division, the Sports Turf Solutions City Division Junior A Hurling Championship final. Whitechurch and Brian Dillon's nice novel final in Ballinlock.
Absolutely, a novel final is right. We have Whitechurch, a young, eager team who won the Junior B in 2016, mm-hmm. went on to win the county and the All-Ireland, up Junior A 2 years, and have proved themselves worthy of coming to the final. And then we have Dillon's, a very experienced team, have contested loads of finals over the years. In actual fact, they won 2015 and they've contested 16, 17 and 18. So a good tradition in finals. So we're in for a cracking match. A young, eager team against a very experienced traditional team.
Yeah, the Brian Dillon's have always been thereabouts over the last few years. Just not breaking that duck of the county championship, I suppose, but they have been thereabouts in the junior final. But for Whitechurch, this is new territory for them. It's fantastic to see the new names come up into the finals.
It is. It's Whitechurch. Last won the Junior A City Final in 1997, actually. Mm. So it's 22 years. But they're a very good side, very young side. The average age of the team is 25. This year they're being managed by Brendan O'Driscoll, and he's brought them on in leaps and bounds, and he'll have them right for the final, I would imagine. You know, they're a young team, but they've proven themselves. They they beat Nemo, a traditional, you know, who'd often contest the junior final, beat Nemo in the quarter and beat another good side Passage, another good junior hurling team Passage, in a very tight match, beaten by a point in the semi-final.
So we don't want to focus everything on Whitechurch, but they have a lovely new setup as well that they've built in the last year or two.
They have a beautiful setup out there in Whitechurch. You have to say credit to them now. They've come on and they're proving it. And they have young people and they have a good underage structure, you know. Yeah. So they have the setup right, you know. And it's proving it now that they've made the junior final after only coming into the junior A in 2017, you know.
Yeah.
So it is working and it is a beautiful setup out there. And they've put a lot of time and effort and fundraising into it. And I'm delighted for them to be in the final.
Yeah, obviously Brendan O'Driscoll, known countywide as a very good coach, but
absolutely.
Dillons, you mentioned one in 2015. They've gone into the county section anyway, through the back door, I suppose. Even if you lose a divisional final, now you go through. That's a bit of added incentive to get into the final. Do you think it takes a small bit of bite away from the finals? I know both teams will want to go out and win the final regardless, but the fact that they're already bought into the county championship.
I don't think so, Kieran. I think it actually is a bonus because, you know, before you'd make the final, you'd lose it, the winners would go on into the county and you'd be just left there. I think it's good that both teams go into the county, you know, because it's an added bonus for them. They work and they train hard all year, you know, and I think it's a good thing that they're they're out in the county, you know. And often, as is the case with Dillons, like Nemo won it in 17, but Brian Dillons went on to lose the county in a replay to St. Catharines, you know, narrowly beaten in the county in 17, you know. And hadn't won the city, you know. So,
yeah.
You know, it gives them both a chance. But I think it's an added advantage and it doesn't take away from the final because I would say both teams will be dying to win that final on Sunday, you know.
Yeah, if you were to look at how all the games went this year and you were to add up the scores, it would be a pretty, pretty high cricket score. There's been some massive scoring in there. Brian Dillon's putting up big scores as well along the way to the final.
That's right, Brian Dillon's, you know, they have the experience, they have the mature players, they're a long time playing, they're a good hurling team, and they won well against Vincent's. I think they scored five goals there in that game, and then in the semi-final against Blackrock, you know, they upped the ante and came away and beat a good hurling side, but another five goals put away there, you know. So they have the experience, they have the maturity and they have the tradition, so they'll be hard to beat on Sunday, you know.
It makes for interesting reading on paper, I suppose, going into the game, in that Dillons have put up huge scores to get where they are, and Whitechurch have taken scalps off some pretty traditional teams who would normally find themselves in this final.
Absolutely, yeah. Like they won against Nemo in the quarter final and won comfortably, and you know, they're comfortable, they know what they're about, they're young and they're good hurlers. And Passage game then was a very tight affair, like that went down to the wire, they won by a point. But you know, they've proved themselves that they can take on the more traditional teams that would contest finals and they can beat them. So it's all to look forward to on Sunday. I'd say it will be a cracking game. Sure.
Yeah, so just to remind people, that's tomorrow, Sunday at 3:30, Whitechurch and Brian Dillons in the Sports Turf. Yeah, in the Sports Turf Solution City Division Junior A Hurling Championship Final. A mouth-watering game in store. You've the Football Championship next week, the final. We'll talk to you about that next week, Eileen. Great day in store. You'd be hoping for a big crowd to go down.
We'd be hoping for a big crowd to go down because actually we have we have a game at 1:30. We have a Junior B quarter final at 1:30. Lochovers versus Nemo, another good game in prospect there. And then our grand finale is the final at 3:30 on Sunday. And we're expecting a cracking match. And we'd like to have a big crowd there. We would like people to support it. You know, it's going to be a good day.
Yeah, fantastic. Well, Eileen Pirro of the Shandown Division, thanks very much for joining me on the bench.
Thank you, Kieran. Thank you very much.
Yeah, it's Eileen Clifford there in conversation with Kieran, previewing tomorrow's game, which has a 3:30 throw-in time. Still Liverpool 3, Arsenal 0, 68 minutes gone on the clock there. And it's hard to see a way back from Cork, barring a couple of goals, Kieran.
Yeah, I'm not sure. We can see a couple of goals coming for Cork. The atmosphere kind of gone very flat here in the LSE Gaelic ground as well. Number 18 is Jamie Copps from Ballyhea. He's making his entrance. Captain James Keaton is being replaced. Yeah, the atmosphere has just gone very flat. Brian Turnbull sent it over a free, and that is another score for Cork. At the moment, 40 minutes gone, and it's Tipperary 4-12, Cork 12 points. You can't see Cork coming back into this. Even the players seem to have just lost a bit of bite as well, so hopefully they can, but I think it's just trying to keep the scoreboard ticking over. Tipper just dominant all over the place. They've just got another scorer there as well now, number 11 Jake Morris, who scored that decisive goal in the Munster under 20 final not so long ago. But yeah, I just can't see Cork coming back into this. Unfortunately, it's going to be a very disappointed place doing interviews after this match. I think it's hard to say with 20 minutes left to play, but I don't think Cork will be coming back. Another sub, number 21 Barry Murphy from Castle Lyons, is coming on for number 12 Derek Connery. But yeah, at the moment 40 and a half minutes gone, Tip 4-13, Cork 13 points. It looks like the All-Ireland title is going back to Tipperary, Roar.
Alright, Ciarán, thanks very much indeed for that reaction to come on tomorrow's show from 6 p.m. Thank you very much indeed for tuning our way this evening. Stevie's up next with the Block Party from 7 until 10. You can follow us on Twitter at Big Red Bench, and on Facebook and Instagram and wherever you have your social medias basically. We'll talk to you tomorrow at 6 p.m. folks. Enjoy the rest of your Saturday night, and stay tuned for Stevie G. He's up next.
The Big Red Bench, Saturday and Sunday from 6 p.m. Cork's Red FM.